are back. So today I get to talk to someone I got to meet through Fish Camp. She was my DG daughter in Camp Vavra.
Camp Vavra.
Shout out Camp Vavra.
Shout out Susan.
Shout out Susan. Yeah, we're going to talk about Susan later. But her name is Sydney. So Sydney, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you. Hello.
Sydney's awesome. There's a lot of stuff I have, like, question-wise for her, so we're just going to dive into it right away. I guess the first thing I just want to ask you is, how have you been, like, this past year, like, your freshman year gets cut short.
Yeah.
And then you enter sophomore year and everything is really weird.
Yeah.
How's it all been?
Better than I thought. Like, at least going into school, it was a lot better than I thought it would be. I thought we would, like, be totally virtual at this point.
Yeah.
In terms of, like, quarantine and over the summer, that was a bit of an adjustment. Mm-hmm. My family was kind of, like, all over the place.
Yeah.
We sold our house.
In Houston.
Moved to my grandparents' house in mm-hmm. Houston. Road trip to San Francisco. Moved into a house there. And then I had to fly back and then move into this apartment.
Wow. Did you make that drive to San Francisco in, like, one day? Or was it broken up?
No, it was 5 days. My dad wanted to go see his hometown, like, in San Angelo, Texas. He's like, I'll never be here again. So, like, he made us spend, like, 2 days there, and then he got tired of, because we rented an RV, mm-hmm. he got sick of it, so he's like, because we were going to go to, like, the Grand Canyon and, like, mm-hmm. kind of make a trip of it.
Yeah.
He's like, you know, we're just gonna go straight there now.
So was it just, like, a two-day thing?
The road trip was, like, 5 days, but we stayed in San Angelo for two.
Oh, okay.
That's cool.
That is fun. Yeah. That must be really weird, though, like, not having your home, like, right here. Like, you can't conveniently drive to
San... I know. I had to, like, change my license and everything, because this is the only Texas address I have
I didn't
now.
Even think about that. Wow.
It hasn't come in the mail yet.
Oh.
I'm still waiting for it. But, yeah, it's weird, because mm-hmm. now my grandparents moved, too, because
yeah.
they have, like, no reason to be in Texas anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, they're all just kind of, like, gone.
Yeah. How long were you able to stay in California, then? Were you there basically all of quarantine, then?
No. So, we moved there... like beginning of July,
okay.
and then I came back early August because
okay.
I had helpline training.
Yeah,
to help out with.
Mm-hmm. Did you like what you saw of California more than Texas or
parts? It's pretty. There's beaches like
mm-hmm.
everywhere, and I'm a big fan of the beach.
Yeah,
so that was very, very appealing.
And the weather.
The weather is iffy. And I'll tell you why. It is nice to be in like 70 degrees in July. Like
mm-hmm.
that feels nice. But
yeah.
the problem with San Francisco is that they have microclimates.
Yeah.
So if you drive like 10 minutes anywhere,
mm-hmm.
it can be like 10 degrees hotter, 10 degrees
yeah.
cooler. And it's just annoying because I feel like I'm never like prepared.
Yeah.
Like I have to haul around a sweater
mm-hmm.
and then it'll be like 90.
Especially when you're like right by
else.
The bay too.
Yeah, that's where my parents are. They're
oh,
like in the
okay.
bay. Sitting there like on a hill.
Mm-hmm.
Like
I was about to say, I've been to San Francisco like once or twice and it's super hilly.
Yeah.
And it was really cold, too. I was not prepared.
No. No one's prepared. My mom has, like, jackets in her car, but she did just buy, she sent me a picture, she bought a two-person
mm-hmm.
electric bicycle.
Oh, wow.
She's, like, waiting for you. So, I have that, like, when I come home. Yeah.
Yeah.
Which, it's fun, though. It's really pretty. Like, the
mm-hmm.
house is really cool. Like, it's totally different than Texas.
Right.
But there's parts that I like of both, I'd
mm-hmm.
say.
Yeah. Do you plan on going home, like, just during major holidays then, or?
Yeah, I'm kind of torn about that. Like, at least for this year, like, I'm going home end of November, and then I'm staying until January.
Oh.
Just because if my parents can avoid buying, like, two extra
yeah.
plane tickets, they're
That's
going
smart.
To avoid that.
Mm-hmm.
But in the future, I think there might be some Thanksgivings where, like, I stay here because,
yeah.
like, finals, and then I fly up for, like, winter break or
yeah,
anything.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, this is a really weird year to, like, figure all of that out.
I know. So we're just going to play by ear. And I have a car here because I
That's nice.
My dad's old car, but I don't know what I'm going to do with that over the break.
Yeah.
I, like, thought I had to think about that for, like, a week because
mm-hmm.
I don't want to, like, have to pay for parking at the airport.
Right.
That's expensive.
Then you can just... Honestly, I could just drive you to the airport if you really wanted to.
Well, I got a ride now, but
okay.
I had to think about it for a while because I have a parking pass at... A&M.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm just going to leave it there.
Okay,
and then
that's
my
smart.
Friend that goes to Baylor
mm.
is going to pick me up on her way home
there you go.
And then just take me to the airport.
Mm-hmm. College Station Airport or Houston?
Houston.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Because College Station, that'd be a bit more expensive too.
College Station would just take me to either Houston, Dallas or Houston. Yeah. And then at that point, it'd just be better.
Yeah. I also wanted to ask you about your major. So you are a psychology major.
I am.
So what made you want to do that?
I was thinking about this last night because I don't know what like clicked in my head when I was applying for college. And I'm like, yeah, like psychology. But I think it was, so I was a babysitter like for like at least half of high school. And I babysat like all my sister's friends, like all of them. And I liked kids. And in my head, that was like people. Sure. Right. So I picked psychology and I was kind of like nervous about it for a while. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know what I could do with this. And like, we'll just play it by ear. And like, people would ask, like, what's your major? I'm like, oh, like, it's psych, but like, we'll see if it stays. Like, we'll see. But I like it.
That's good. Yeah. I feel like that's really cool that you're doing something that you actually are very passionate about. Or like, your people skills, like, led you to do psychology. You didn't just choose it because, like, someone told you to do that, you know?
I tried, yeah. My dad's like, why don't try, like, accounting? Yeah. I was like, I don't like math. Like, this is not going to work. Uh-huh. Yeah. This has worked out so far.
What, like, did you know about psychology besides just, like, the people part going into it? Is there anything else you, like, that interested you?
Like, I didn't know much. Oh, okay. I took a psych class in high school, and I dropped out of it 2 days in.
Which class was that?
It was just like AP Psych in high school. And it was with the same teacher that I had for my English class. And they were back to back. And I just couldn't do it. So I just took an off period instead. I didn't want to do that.
How long were you in that class for?
2 days.
Oh, okay. Because I was about to ask you, like, if AP Psych was even, like, close to what college psychology is.
No, it was, like, the first 2 days were, like, terrible. It was, like, write down a fact about yourself. And then, like, you have to give it to a random person, and then they would read it out loud and, like, guess who said it. And it was just, like, hurtful. Like, some people would write really sad things, like, I think you said it. Like,
oh my goodness.
It was really sad. Like, one of them was like, I think I cry myself to sleep. And then someone's like, it was you.
Oh my,
like,
gosh, no. That could turn really bad.
Yeah, I was not, I don't know, I wasn't a fan. And I didn't like the teacher that, I mean, she was fine, but I had her for English already.
So yeah, like,
I didn't want
one class is enough.
One class is fine. I went up to her, too, and I'm like, hey, like, this is awkward because, like, I'm still going to see you every day, but I'm driving your psych class. Yeah. And she's like, okay. I don't think she really cared. But
that is funny.
I didn't really know much going into it, though.
Well, I guess since you've been in it for a year and almost a year and a half now, how has your perception of psychology changed?
It changed a lot, honestly, because I didn't realize there was, like, so much you could do with it. I kind of just thought it was either, like, therapy or med school.
Yeah.
And I wasn't sure how I felt about those odds, but, like, there's a lot more that you can do with it, which is, it was really interesting to me to, like, find all that out. Yeah. Like, going from intro to psych to kind of learning about, like, the basics, and then, like, the more, like, major specific classes for it. Yeah. I've learned a lot so far, which has been really great. And I joined a research group for psych, and that's taught me a lot, too.
What do you do in that research group?
So we're just planning for it right now, but it's an IO psychology group, which is industrial organizational.
Okay.
More like business psych, if that makes sense. So, like, the way they explain it to me, like, what IO psychology means is, like, the blend of, like, business and psych. So, like, working within a business to make sure, like, everything flows seamlessly. Like, how to make people better work with each other.
Right.
Which is cool to me.
Mm-hmm. Is that what you want to do, or do you have, like, an
kinda
idea?
That's what I want to do.
Okay.
I think so.
That's cool.
Have you taken a psych class?
I've never taken a psych class, but, like, psychology has always, like, interested me because, well, I think especially, like, once I got into college, because I feel like it just makes you more aware of who you are as a person. Like, we're going to talk about this later, but, like, the Enneagram.
Yes, and, like, that stuff Myers-Briggs. Is so cool.
I remember, like, I get, yeah, it's just, like, you're more self-aware. I remember, like, reading some of those things, and I'm like, wow, like, I've never, like, read a paragraph about myself before like that. Like, it talks about all your tendencies, talks about, like, you know, why you're wired the way you are. I think that stuff is so cool. I've just, like, it's definitely been something that I've recently been interested in, but it's always fascinating to hear someone who, like, that's, like, their life, like you, like, talk about it.
I feel like psychology seems more interesting, like, when you just hear, like, small facts here and there, like, oh, like,
yeah,
like those facts that you see, like, on Instagram or TikTok, and you're like, whoa, like, there's a lot more than that that's, like, not as interesting, like, stuff about the brain, but
yeah,
definitely comes off more interesting, but I love the little Enneagram stuff. Mm-hmm. Like, in Zodiacs, even though, like, Enneagram is much more of, like, a science than that, but I love reading about, like, Zodiacs. I'm like, that's me.
Mm-hmm. Or astrology, is that? Yeah.
It's awesome.
Do you have, like, a favorite class you've taken in psychology so far?
I think the class I'm taking right now is pretty cool. Mm-hmm. These are more of, like, I guess, core curriculum things for psychology until I get into, like, the more specific ones, like taking abnormal psych or developmental psych, which I'm really excited for. But right now it's research methods psych. Mm-hmm. So kind of learning about, like, how you conduct an experiment and different types of bias that might go into it and, like, validity or, like, how easily you can, like, mess up validity of, like, your sample or just anything, which is pretty cool.
Yeah.
I like it.
Yeah, I think definitely once you get to, like, I think even, like, second semester sophomore year and then starting junior year.
Yeah, like next semester I'm taking, like, I'm going to try and take developmental psych.
Which is, what is that?
Like, kind of, like, how, like, children develop.
Oh, like, how your minds, that sounds so cool.
How your minds develop over time.
That is so cool. That, I wish if I were you, I wish I could just skip to that.
Yeah, I know. I've been, like, waiting, like, patiently. I can't wait. Mm-hmm. So it'll be fun.
I think another question I had about psychology was, like, it's, like, one of those things where, like, once you read about it, it's, like, very obvious. Yeah. So I think people feel like psychology is super intuitive, but, like, what do you have to say to people? Or, like, even, like, what do you have to say about those who think, like, psychology is something that everyone knows? You know what I mean? Like, you know that question?
Yeah, sort of. And sometimes you do, honestly, like, because you pick up on social cues, like, a lot of people, like, know more about psychology than, like, they think. Because, like, you learn about some of that stuff, and you're like, yeah, like, I guess. Like, it's kind of always been, like, the back of your head. Mm-hmm. So for some of that, I do see. But then when you kind of learn more about it, you see, like, the behind the scenes of the behind the scenes, I guess, is what would make sense for that. Like, you, like, especially for Helpline, if I hear people, like, they trained us to know how to respond to them. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of like a delivered, like, if you say this, they're most likely going to do this.
Right.
Kind of learning that, or like how your mind works, or even like with research, how people respond with like guilt or regret is like, it's super interesting. And like how people react to those things is like, I guess you don't really think about, but if you're presented with the information, it just makes sense. Yeah. Which is what I like about it.
Mm-hmm. I think that's so hard though, because it's so hard to predict human behavior, and everyone has different reactions to different things. Like, you could show the same picture to somebody, and like a dog, for example, someone could have gotten like attacked when they were younger and they're really scared about it. But like other people see a dog and they're like, oh, that's so cute. So like, I feel like it's really difficult to plan.
It's also about how you present it to people. That's like also, that's like how they test psychology too. Mm-hmm. There's experiments where like they try and see, like, test your reaction versus like what they give you. So like, if you're more receptive to this versus that, so that's what they want to see.
What about a class that you don't like or you found like pretty boring that you've taken so far
for psych? Just in general,
just psych.
I mean, I haven't taken like too many, but I guess psychology statistics, because I've never taken a statistics class before. I still got an A. Like, it was a fine class, but like, if we're just talking about like, I've taken intro to psych, psych statistics, and now research methods, and those are the only three like psychology specific courses I've taken. So if we have to rank them, I guess psych statistics is not the best.
Yeah, is that just like a math class basically? Or?
It was math. And, like, the advisors came in to, like, talk to us, and they're like, yeah, so, you know, next semester you're going to be taking psychology statistics. Do not take another math course. Do not take another English course. Like, this is writing intensive. This is math.
Oh, I remember someone raised
their hand. They're like, so, like, what am I supposed to take next semester? They're like, what else? But it's, like, you do statistics. You learn about the psychology that kind of goes into it, like, more, like, how you test people, again, with, like, the biases. And then you write some long essay and, like, put your statistics to the test and, like, write about it. It's just a lot of writing.
That sounds scary.
It was still, I mean, it was okay, but...
Yeah.
Not the best.
Do you feel like, you know, through the things you've learned in psychology that you have, like, applied it to your, like, life? I feel like, for me, when I think of engineering and, like, what I've learned in, like, undergraduate...
Yeah.
Obviously, this thing, like, it's super interesting stuff. Like, they talk about really, like, relevant things about, like, stresses or, like, I don't know, different forces around us. Mm-hmm. But, like, I don't really, like, apply it unless I'm given a problem, you know? Mm-hmm. But, like, with psychology, do you ever find yourself, like, applying what you've learned in your psychology classes to, like, your relationships with the people around you without you even realizing it?
Yeah. Like, even, like, what I learned, like, with Helpline or my research group especially, mm-hmm. I know to make people talk.
Yeah.
And, like, I'm really good at listening to people.
Oh, I know for that.
Yeah. Good at listening and then, like, I guess asking the right things or, like, mm-hmm. being more neutral.
Yeah.
If that makes sense. Like, mm-hmm. trying not to present too much of, like, a bias towards people or, mm-hmm. I don't know. I feel like I put that, like, I'll talk to my mom and, like, I'll practice on her and I'll make her talk for, like, I think even this morning I did, like, an hour and a half. Wow. Like, she could just go on. Mm-hmm. But it's nice. I mean, I like talking to my mother, but yeah. I do know how to make her talk.
That's awesome. How do you make people, like, talk, especially someone who's a bit shyer?
Well, I'm pretty, this sounds really bad. Like, I'm really good at this. I think I'm good at, like, getting to know people, like, when I first meet them, like, mm-hmm. striking up a conversation or, like, keeping a conversation, like, going. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of, like, I did it at the NSC a lot, but mm-hmm. If I meet someone, I just kind of keep talking mm-hmm. until, like, and if you, like, let them sit with a silence, they're most likely going to pick up on that. Oh, that's one thing I have learned, though. If you leave a silence in a conversation, it's really awkward for both people. And if you know in your head that, like, you want the person to talk, you are going to keep that awkward yeah. silence. Like, you're not even going to care. The other mm-hmm. person will talk.
Gotcha. That is a good point. I think I realized that about you, like, when I met you, like, at camp.
Yeah.
You were, like, one of the first people who were, like, pretty comfortable, like, just opening up.
Yeah.
We had, like, obviously a pretty social group, like a lot of people.
Yeah, but like even on the bus there, I feel like it was difficult.
I met you on the bus, right?
Yeah, we did the whole like rotation yeah. thing, which you totally cannot do now, by the way. I was thinking about that. That's like huge hazard. But like it was weird because some people are like very shy and like you'd get two words out of them. Yeah. So I would be talking most of the time. Mm-hmm. And then sometimes it was like other people and like mm-hmm. I like when the conversation to flow more. With you, the conversation flowed.
Yeah.
But there was just, I just remember there were some people and I'm like, and like
yeah.
where are you from? They'd be like I don't know, like just some place around Dallas. I'm like, where? I don't know.
Or like they would say an answer and like obviously they don't have to ask it back to you, but like that's how you keep a conversation.
Like it helps.
Yeah. I remember on the bus I had asked you like what your name tag said.
Yeah.
And you showed me and I was like, oh, that's really interesting. Like the people in charge of like that.
You're like, I know them.
I was like, they're really cool. And you were like, oh, are they?
I think I kind of knew at that point. I'm like, I think it's you.
That was awesome. But yeah, I think even during like periods where we were like walking from like place to place, like I would always see you like talking to somebody, like talking to Tanner.
Yeah.
Tanner's just like, awesome. Tanner's great. Yeah. Or just talking to like other people. And I feel like you're really good at just like opening up like to a group of people who you've never really met, which is really hard to do.
Yeah.
A lot of people aren't comfortable with that.
Which it might be a bad thing that I'm too comfortable doing. I feel like in that context it was better.
Yeah, no. I definitely feel like it's better to be, like, more open. Obviously, like, you got to pick and choose your moments.
Right.
But it's good because, like, you're the one that's breaking the ice. Yeah. And, like, other people see you do that, and they're not afraid to do it themselves because they're like, oh, somebody else, like, already did it first. Like, it's a precedent. I'm going to, like, follow what she did.
Yeah. So, and that's like, what people like to do. Mm-hmm. They like to see someone else do it first.
Yeah, for sure. I guess since we're talking about fish camp and we're talking about, you know, I just, like, psychology things.
Yeah.
Let us talk about your involvement with the Helpline.
My involvement with the Helpline.
So I guess, first, for people who don't know what the Helpline is, what is the Helpline?
So the Helpline, it's like the after hours for the CAPS program here at A&M. So we have hours at A&M for the counseling and psychological services from 8 to 4. And when that's not in operation, so from 4 p.m. to 8 a.m., mm-hmm. that's when we're in operation. Mm-hmm. And we're an outlet for students, graduate students, like anybody really that has the number to like call, talk, and like about anything, like mm-hmm. academics, relationships, depression, mental illnesses, mm-hmm. anything. Like, it's an outlet for students.
Mm-hmm. How did you get involved with it?
I found out about it from Fish Camp, and Susan Vavra was the namesake, and she's the director for Helpline. So that kind of sparked my interest. I thought, like, that might be cool to, like, kind of get involved with something like that. Like, it seemed really interesting. Mm-hmm. So I applied pretty early in the fall semester, and then I interviewed, and I went through a pretty rigorous training for it.
Yeah.
It was like a week long from 8 a.m. to like 6 p.m., and mm-hmm. it was really, really heavy. mm-hmm. But I'm glad that I'm in it now. It's really great. I like it a lot.
Yeah. When did you start working? When was your, like, first day?
I started working in January of 2020.
Oh, okay. Wow. So you're working in there as a freshman.
Yeah.
Wow. I was like fairly mature freshman year.
Yeah.
But I would not have trusted myself to be like the giver of advice, but like a comforting hand to other people.
Well, we don't give advice.
Well, yeah, not advice, but like just be there to listen, you know? I don't trust myself to do that. Even now, like, it's not something I struggle with, but I think it's so cool that like your mentality as a freshman, like, you want to help other people, and I don't know, that's just awesome to see.
Thank you. I feel like it's awesome because now, like, I mean, I like to think at least that Susan and I are like buds.
Mm-hmm. How often do you see her?
At least once a week.
Oh.
Which is nice.
Mm-hmm. That is nice.
She's really nice.
Is there, how many other people are there?
We're a group of like around 25 to 35, or like mm-hmm. somewhere in between there.
Mm-hmm. Do you like know the other people?
Yeah. Okay. It's really nice. Everyone there is, like, super nice.
Mm-hmm.
They're all really nice people.
How has, like, I guess whenever COVID hit in March, what did that look like for you working there?
I went home in March, and mm-hmm. because I lived in the dorm, mm-hmm. I moved out of the dorm in, like, April.
Yeah.
And I
stayed home. Get that refund.
Yeah. Once my dad had found out, I was like, we're going tomorrow. Yeah. Like, let's go. But, I mean, I didn't work there throughout all of that just because I wasn't in College Station.
Right. You didn't have a place to stay.
No, it wouldn't have worked. And things were getting busy at that point. We were like packing and mm-hmm. I still tried to like stay involved with it and like mm-hmm. hear other people talk, but you know, from afar, from a distance.
Mm-hmm. And then, what's your like thought process as you go into a call? Like, what do you... Obviously, every situation is different.
Yeah.
Like, I guess, how do you, like, I don't know, like, walk me through your thought process when you're calling someone.
When someone calls, it's more like, it's not, I like to think it's not me taking the call. Mm-hmm. It's more like me being there for the caller
mm-hmm.
and just listening to, like, whatever they have to say. Like, kind of clear my head and, like, in that moment, all that matters is, like, what's happening with them and like mm-hmm. just listening and whether they need like a referral or just like a listening ear or like something more like serious. Like I just kind of prepare myself and mm-hmm. then go into it and hope for the best.
Do you ever feel like you get emotionally drained?
Sometimes. Mm-hmm. Sometimes when you get like a lot of calls, mm-hmm. like I go home after and I'm just like I just don't want to talk anymore for like...
Yeah.
an hour, but I mean, that's why, you know, like I don't work there like every single day, right. You know, like I have breaks in between. And mm-hmm. then if I ever needed more of a break, I know I can always like ask, but mm-hmm. sometimes.
Yeah. I feel like it's really taxing because obviously they're like, everyone always needs someone like to be there for them.
Mm-hmm.
But like in this case, you're always going to be there for somebody else. And like, it's good. Like
yeah.
you have, it's good. It's clear you have like a serving, like caring heart, but, there's this analogy that I've always heard about, like, you can't pour into other people with, like, an empty, like, bucket. You need to make sure, like, your bucket is full.
Yeah.
And I'm just, like, not, like, fearful of, like, fearful for you because I know you can take care of yourself.
Yeah,
but,
I try.
I guess whenever you do get to that point of being emotionally drained or, like, you just have had enough and you, like, don't want to talk to anyone, what do you do to, like, I guess, rejuvenate yourself?
Self-care. Mm-hmm. I don't know, this is really weird. I like eating apples a lot. Like, like that, kind of just like sit and uh-huh. get like a couple minutes to myself.
Okay.
And then hanging out with Brooke, my roommate, hanging out with some other people, my boyfriend, just other friends that I have, mm-hmm. going out to eat with people.
Yeah.
Just any sort of self-care, or just like getting sleep, getting a good shower, mm-hmm. getting homework done.
Yeah.
That somehow mm-hmm. rejuvenates me all day.
Getting like homework done.
Crossing things off my right. list. Uh-huh. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Kind of the self-care process.
Right.
I would say that I cook, but I don't.
Oh.
That just seems really cool. So like, yeah, like I cook, but I don't.
What do you just like buy pre-ordered food or like Lunchables no, or mean, something?
Like when I think of cook, I mean like using the stove or like mixing or like.
Oh, so you just microwave, right?
Microwave? No, like I'll like prepare a salad.
That's still.
But like my mom's like, that's not cooking. She like laughs at me. She's like, yeah, like sure. Brooke cooks. She cooks uh-huh. a lot.
Shout out Brooke.
I know. Like I'm like blessed. She'll text me. She's like, hey, like dinner's ready. And I'm like, wow, what did I do to deserve that? And she cooks like good food.
Mm-hmm.
It's nice.
What is your favorite thing she cooks?
She cooks a lot of. Okay, so in the fridge right now, she just made like chicken and dumplings.
Oh, wow. I'm hungry all of a sudden.
It was so good.
Uh-huh.
And she just made pasta, which I'm actually going to like make tonight because she still has some sauce in there.
Mm-hmm.
It was like the vodka sauce pasta. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Oh, it's so good. She made that one recipe from TikTok that was like avocado, little tomatoes, mozzarella balls.
You'll have
like
to send that to me. That sounds good.
Vinegar mm-hmm. or whatever. And like she just does it. It's incredible.
Uh-huh. Have you ever seen the TikTok thing where they do like they put aluminum foil on the table and then they like pile it with nachos?
Oh, like the nacho table. Yeah. I have seen that.
You need to do that.
I should. It's I talked so about good. It. And I'm like, we have foil, like, and we have a table.
Yeah. And
we could do it.
It's really good.
Yeah.
I did it one time.
Was it really? Did you really?
We didn't finish it though. It was, we overestimated.
But how like, much what do you do with the extra chips? Like the
I don't know. It was at my friend's house, so
okay,
like,
good.
I just ate,
not
and then
problem.
I just left.
Good luck.
But I think he like saved it, and I think him and his roommates ate it or something.
That's good.
But it was really yummy.
That sounds really yummy.
Going back to helpline stuff.
Yeah.
How do you, like, you talked about how, like, you know, when there's silence, like, someone try, like, people will, like, try to fill that silence.
Mm-hmm.
But what happens when it's, like, you have somebody who, like, you don't want to pry, obviously. You want them to tell you as much as, like, they're comfortable.
Yeah.
But, like, what do you do whenever, like, how, because silence over the phone versus silence in person is, like, pretty different, I feel.
Yeah.
Right? Like, how do you approach that without any, like, visual cue of, like, telling, like, letting them know you're, like, always there to listen. You know what I mean?
Well, sometimes you can tell them, but it's more kind of, like, building the relationship with the caller. Mm-hmm. And if sometimes they're more receptive to a silence, and that's just what they need.
Mm-hmm.
And other times they don't like that, and they could be like, hey, like, I'm here, hello.
Yeah.
And at that point you can kind of adjust how mm-hmm. you respond or
mm-hmm.
how you react.
Yeah. That's
kind of tailor it to the caller.
Yeah.
Because our whole mission is, it's not about us, we mm-hmm. follow the caller. So whatever they want to talk about, however like they would like to be responded to,
mm-hmm.
we're there for them. We're a service for them.
That is awesome. I just think it's so awesome because I remember my sophomore year was like really bad for me academically.
Oh.
And so I was so scared to, like, go home to my parents. Like, it was winter break. Finals were over. Like, I knew I did really, really bad.
Oh.
I refused. Like, I, like, held up until the last day to go home. And I was so scared that, like, I did end up calling the helpline, like, at A&M.
Yeah.
I didn't know what to do. Like, that was my first time I'd ever called, like, any sort of helpline.
Because
I was just, like, I don't – I feel like I should be able to take care of it myself. Which, like, no. Like, you – if you can rely on other people and there are people out there that are willing to help, like, you never want to take on anything on your own. I remember, like, calling them, and I was just like, I don't know what to do. And, gosh, I wish I could thank the person who, like, that's my thing. I wish I could have thanked the person who called, who picked up, because I was in a wreck. Like, I was driving home, did not expect anyone to pick up. I don't know why I didn't expect anyone to pick up, but they picked
just
up.
Just ignore you.
I pulled off to the side of the road, and I talked for, like, 30 minutes to, like, an hour.
Yeah.
And I feel bad because, like, what I was saying was probably really incoherent, and I was definitely not speaking, like, complete sentences. Everything was, like, I was talking and then sniffling and then talking and then catching my breath. Like, it was
aww.
Really bad. But I just remember them being so, like, patient with me.
and them just asking me, like, not like pressing questions, but like questions that like really innocent questions that like allowed them to see the situation more. But like, I don't know. It's just, that's why like, I think what you're doing is amazing, because like, it really does help people out. It doesn't matter like how serious or how mild someone thinks it is, like, it helps people out. So
yeah,
I think that's awesome.
I do wish though, because I feel like people only think that the helpline's for like desperate situations, or like only if you're like in a crisis. And, like, it's really not. Like, you could call if you're just like stressed with a test, or like, had a bad day or something. Especially with COVID, we've had a lot of people calling, like, just frustrated.
And that's what I realized too, whenever I called, was that like, it wasn't just for people who were like, this was their last hope or nothing else. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, no. It's any situation.
Anyone could use therapy. Anyone can use just, like, a listening ear. Like, people like to talk.
Exactly.
Especially about themselves. I like to talk about myself. Like, everyone does.
Right.
If you get them going, yeah, sure, just anything.
Yeah. So, you don't have to go into any specifics with this one.
Okay.
But, like, I want you to, like, think back to your, like, most difficult call you've had.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, what, like, after that call, like, how did you ever feel like their problems, not like their problems, but their, like, situation they're in, like, you kind of took on everything they're feeling and, like, did that weigh you down super emotionally? Like, did you feel like you're able to, like, compartmentalize that and put that somewhere else? Or, like, did it start to affect you? Like,
their situation? I don't think it affects me, like, takes an emotional toll, but I do try to, like, I think processing it is healthy, and we do that as helpline, like, as a group. Like, if we take a call that's, like, super difficult, or, like, one that really, like, sat with us for a while, we can talk about it. We have people with us that we can, like, talk our feelings with, so there's always, like, we have people there for us. But again, with compartmentalizing, I like to imagine it's not really me that's going into that call. Like,
yeah.
It's someone else, and I'm there for the call, and I've done what I can, and it does sit with me sometimes. Like, I do think about them, like, when I go home, or, like, even the next day, or, like, it's easy to think about,
right,
like, the calls that I've taken, and, like, what if they're around me or something, but
right.
I have a better time, I think, like, really, like, processing it and just, you know, moving on, not moving on. That sounds bad.
No, I know. Like, I know what you mean. Like,
keep on living.
Was that a skill you feel like you've always had, or you feel like helpline really, like, developed it?
A little bit of both. Honestly, it's helped me. Helpline has helped me. I say that 10 times fast with, like, processing my own emotions and, like, figuring out what I need as a person, and then, like, listening to other people and just kind of, like, grasping a greater concept of, like, the people around me and kind of what's going on.
Yeah. That's good. Have you ever met anyone you talk to in real life by any chance? I feel like it's really slim, but...
I think, and this is really weird, I think I have a class with someone that we've taken a call from.
Yeah.
I saw their name, like, on the Zoom roster, and I was like, wait a second.
Oh, okay.
But, like, I don't think ever directly. No.
Do you ever wish? Like, I don't know, because I guess from my perspective, I guess from your perspective, obviously really different, but from my perspective, like, it's always like, I wish I could go back to that person who, like, just listened to me for, like, 30 minutes when I really needed to, and I felt like I didn't have anyone. And, like, that, them being, like, anonymous, it's not, like, eating me away, or, like, I lose sleep over it, but it's just, like, I wish I could just, like, thank you. Like, that's just the person
curiosity.
I...
curiosity.
Yeah. But I guess from, like, your side, whenever somebody is, like, you know, a call's about to end, whether, you know, the other person is in a good mood or, like, not in a good mood after it ends, you kind of talked about, like, not moving on, but just, like, realizing that, like, you've done the best you can.
Yeah.
Have you ever felt like you could have done better?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, not like I did anything wrong, but sometimes, like, afterwards, like, oh, like, I wish I would have asked this, or I wish I could have said this or asked more about this. Because if I talk about it with someone else, And they're like, oh, what about this? And I'm like, ugh. Like, I forgot.
Yeah.
But never, like, never in, like, a crisis situation. I feel like then, like, senses are heightened. But more in, like, still, like, an important call, nonetheless. But just in another call, it's more, more information I could have asked. Or something I could have asked them to dive more into. So.
Yeah.
Always. I'm never going to think, yep, perfect. Like, did that one perfectly. You know, I'm always going to feel that way. But I know that, like, I still know in my head, like, I did, like, I didn't do anything wrong.
Right.
Like, I did the best I could do. And that's it.
Yeah, that's good. I guess you guys, you and, like, the other helpline workers, you guys kind of just, obviously, you guys aren't in the same room. I don't think, like, anyone could make a good call with, like, five other people, like, all talking at the same time. But you guys have, like, I guess some sort of common room that you guys can go into and kind of, like, decompress.
Well, we have, like, a space where where we take calls, where we have, like, resources around us. Yeah, it's a nice little space we have.
Have you ever had to stay up all the way throughout the night, like 12 a.m., 1 a.m., 2 a.m.?
I have not, but other people have. It's all about when I take the shift. I choose not to take the ones where I put myself in the situation where I might have to.
Yeah.
But sometimes people do.
Yeah, I was just wondering, like, because I guess whenever you're taking a call from someone, you can't be like, if you're tired or you're not, like, focused and ready to be there for them, like, that's, it's just like showing to work drunk or something, right?
Like, yeah, and like, that's all on you.
Yeah. So
we like to say that, like, if when you go into a shift, like, you have to be prepared for the call, and if you're not, then see if somebody else can go in.
Yeah.
Or something. It's like, you wouldn't have to be the best for the people that call.
Yeah. I guess, what was it like learning to, I guess, realize that some situations are out of your control, and you're just, like, you're being there for them as best as you can, and even if, like, it end, or, like, the call ends, and, you know, I guess they, you feel like they, the issue isn't resolved, or, like, they're not feeling, like, happy or something, like, how have you learned to, like, not let go, but, you know, I don't know how to put it.
No, I know what you're saying, because ideally, and, like, in every call, like, they call me, like, oh, I have a problem, and then, like, I talk to them, they're like, all better. Like,
yeah.
Thank you. And I wish that's how every call went, but it's frustrating when they don't.
Yeah.
It can be really frustrating because I would really want to say something, like, off book, like, just do this or something, but I can't, and I just listen with them, talk them through, and if it doesn't, like, resolve immediately, or if they just call and, like, at the end it's still, like, sad and like they're still going through, like, nothing's been resolved, like, I wish there was more I could do, but I mean, there's only so much I can do, and I like to think that if they called and if we were able to keep a conversation, that I was able to do something, even if it's just listen, because sometimes even just saying it out loud can be helpful.
Yeah, I think listening to is such an underrated, like, I guess, like, skill. Like, a lot of people don't really listen, and they don't realize that listening is super important. But I guess,
very important.
How has your, like, conception of, like, active listening and like, empathy changed with your experience in helpline?
I think it's pretty good, because I'm able now, like, even when I talk to friends, if they talk to me about an issue, instead of being like, well, what I would do is this, I try and ask them more questions about, like, what they've thought about doing, or, like, kind of empathizing more and just being a listening ear instead of offering up my advice right away, because while it is useful to hear what somebody else would do, especially, like, with your friend or something, it is also just valuable to, like, let them say it all. And then if they really want to know, they can be like, okay, like, now you, like, what do you think?
Right. That's powerful. That's awesome. I mean, it's like, because what you're learning is literally, like, you're learning it in school. Like, you're learning, I guess, all the technical stuff.
Yeah.
And then you get to apply and also learn a lot of new things through Helpline. And then it also affects, like, your life.
Comes full circle.
I know. Everything's connected. That's awesome. Yeah. I think I've definitely, like, struggled with, especially, like, when I was younger, like, listening. Not really listening, but saying I was listening. Like, mm-hmm. listening to respond instead of listening just to, like, be there for the other person. Mm-hmm. I feel like that's something I've definitely, like, gotten better at. Kind of the same reason with you, like, people. I'm not saying everyone comes to me for, like, advice or everyone comes to me for support. But, like, I like being there for people yeah. whenever they need help. Mm-hmm. And it's not tempting, but it's really easy to fall into that space of, let me give you, like, what works best for me.
Right? Oh, it is tempting. Absolutely.
Yeah. And it just comes naturally to you sometimes, but you got to, like, fight that urge.
Well, like you said before, like, everybody's different. Mm-hmm. Like, the whole dog thing, like, yeah. someone got attacked by a dog, like, you just never know. And mm-hmm. I think listening for the other person instead of, like, listening to respond is, like, mm-hmm. it's much more helpful than you might imagine.
Yeah. And I feel like, you know, if I wasn't doing, like, mechanical engineering, or if I wasn't doing, like, I don't know, if I wasn't just doing, like, anything in STEM, I would probably try to do, well, I don't know if psychology counts, this is science.
They call it a soft science, which, like, cracks me up. It's like, why?
But I feel like I'd want to do something, like, in that department. I think, like,
liberal arts.
I guess it's, like, a mix of both.
Yeah, because even, like, it's weird because, like, even economics is considered liberal arts. Isn't that weird?
I always thought it was, like, a business or something.
Right? Like, isn't that, like, math? I don't know.
I don't know.
That doesn't make any sense to me.
I don't know. But, yeah, I think that's awesome what you're doing. And I guess, has Helpline ever, like, has it shaped what you wanted to do in the future?
I think it's definitely made me consider, like, counseling, mm-hmm. kind of open up my options, especially, like, talking with other people who are in Helpline, because mm-hmm. not everybody's a psychology major, but there's some that are, and, like, mm-hmm. hearing what other people want to do,
or yeah.
kind of getting a feel for, like, what all is out there, because, like, you know, talking with other people, you learn a lot. Mm-hmm. a little bit, though. I feel like I still like, IO psychology, mm-hmm. like, more business-related things, but I don't know for sure what I want to do, so yeah. I think this would help, but this is not why I'm doing it.
Yeah. No, that's cool.
Added bonus.
I feel like whatever path you go down, you're going to be great. Especially,
thank you.
Especially, like, your listening skills. Like, obviously, you're a good person.
Thank you.
Otherwise, I wouldn't be talking to you right now.
I hope.
But I think, like, you know, a lot of people kind of dismiss, like, psychology, or like even like some people might look at Helpline stuff and be like, that stuff, like, it doesn't really work. And
well, it's not for everyone.
It's not for everyone.
Some people don't,
but
they aren't receptive to it, and if mm-hmm. they're not, they know that.
Yeah.
And they just, you know, mm-hmm. it's a service, and if they don't want to use it, they don't have to use
right.
it.
Right. I think what matters most, though, is that you might not be helping every single person in the world, but you are helping someone out there.
Yeah.
And that's the most important thing. That's awesome.
That's what Susan tells us.
Aww.
Like, you helped, you were there, like, you were a listening ear for someone, like, you let them share their truth.
Uh-huh. How well have you gotten to know Susan, like, throughout all of this?
Oh my gosh, so well. Uh-huh. We have, like meetings every week where we just kind of, like, catch in with one another. We do, like, highs and lows, and mm-hmm. so every week Susan gives a high and low, and she's very... very open with what they are. She's like, I'll tell you what my low is. Don't even get me started. Mm-hmm. Most of the time it's like women's basketball.
Mm.
If they lose or if they win.
Like A&M or just?
Mostly A&M, but then like she likes women's basketball.
Mm-hmm.
Or her cat.
Mm-hmm. That is fun. Yeah. Susan was, I didn't get the chance to know her too well because I was like gone a lot that summer, but she was so fun, like, during her campfire speech.
She was really fun. I just remember, because I remind her when she, like, we got to interview her and, like, ask her questions.
Yeah.
People ask her, like, oh, like, what's your, like, favorite hobby? Yeah. She's like, well, what do you think it is?
She's like, you're not going to guess
reading,
it.
Like, reading, like, knitting. She's like, no, gambling.
Oh, no,
she's really awesome, though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And she's really sensitive to all of us. Like, if we need time or, like, what we go through. And she's, like, very appreciative of us. Like,
yeah.
It's really great.
Mm-hmm.
She's a nice person.
That's good. I don't know if you've ever experienced this, but obviously, like, somebody calling the helpline as like a 20-year-old versus someone calling the helpline as, you know, maybe a 10-year-old. That conversation is going to look kind of different, right? Mm-hmm. Have you ever had an experience where you're calling someone who's like significant, or like you're receiving a call from someone who's significantly younger than you?
Not younger, mm-hmm. older.
Okay.
Parents or people who I'm not even sure how they got our number.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, people from all over call. Mm-hmm.
And the approach is kind of just the same, right? Like, just listen.
We're there for everyone.
Yeah, that's good.
Anyone who can find us.
So you're telling me once I graduate, I can still call the helpline.
Yeah.
That's good to know. And I have it memorized because of our...
The song, yeah.
979-845-2700, call the helpline.
Yeah.
That is so clutch.
It's pretty nice, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Or if I, like, give the number to someone during a call, I feel weird because I want to say, like, 2700. I'm like, 2700. It feels weird. I just want to sing it, start stomping.
That's so funny.
Ruin the call.
Let's talk about Enneagram.
Yes. Okay. I screenshotted some of the descriptions for them.
Okay. That is great. You are an Enneagram type what?
2. Mm-hmm. And then the next highest one was 7, mm-hmm. which was the enthusiast.
Ah.
So 2 is the giver.
Giver.
Mm-hmm. They can, it says, 2s want to be liked and find ways that they can be helpful to others so that they can be loved and belong, which, if that isn't me, that is very true.
That is literally you to a T.
And then 7, which is a 93% match, was the enthusiast. 7s want to have as much fun and adventure as possible and are easily bored. Which makes sense now with the Zoom classes. Mm. I'm, like, so tempted to just, like, go on my phone and ignore. Like, it takes a lot of willpower to, like, fully drill in. So, that makes sense.
Yeah. I am also a type 2 as well.
Nice.
I think that's why Sydney and I got along so well.
Probably.
Yeah.
We like to give.
We like to give. We like to be around people.
We like to feel loved.
We like to feel loved. We like to make people feel happy. I think that's a huge thing.
Yeah, and I feel like you and I both like to be, like, surrounded, you know what I mean? Like, by people that, like, we know care about us and, like, that we care about.
Yeah. And, like, for me too, and you might feel the same way about this, I don't always have to be at the center of attention, but if I just see people, like, having fun and, like, the people that I care about have fun and be happy, like, that's usually enough for me, too.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
I feel that.
Mm-hmm. What, I guess about a 2, like, for me, what I wanted to ask you about was how you responded to, like, criticism. Because criticism, or, like, constructive criticism.
Yeah.
So, like... These aren't people who are just trying to attack you just to attack you. Like, they're people who are trying to help you get better. But at the end of the day, they're still, like, criticizing something you did. Mm-hmm. How do you approach that?
Like, depending on what it is. Like, if I talk to a friend about, like, something I'm going through, and they'll be like, well, maybe this or something. Like, maybe more of, like, a suggestion to what I'm not already doing, which I guess is constructive criticism. I try and be receptive to it.
Yeah.
I try to be open-minded. My mother tells me that all the time. Like, you're not open-minded. So, I'm trying.
I feel like you're one of the most open-minded people.
Well, no, if she tells me what to do and I'm like, I don't know. And she's like, you know what? Like, you just... So, I try and be open-minded. But every now and then, like, if I hear a constructive criticism, like, piece, or, like, I just totally don't agree with, I'll be like, yeah, like, sure. Like, I'll, like, to their face, I'll be like, yeah, like, for sure, I'll look into that, and I just won't.
Do you ever feel like you took, like, whether it's now or in the past, you take criticism pretty, like, harshly, or, like, it kind of sits with you? Like, even if someone has a good, like, intention for it, what they say kind of, like, keeps resonating in your mind for a little bit?
Sometimes, I feel like for everyone, like, you'll hear something every now and then, you're like, wow. But, try not to let it, like, really sit with me or, like, anger me in any way.
Yeah.
I try and respond to it in, like, a healthy way and, like, compartmentalize it.
Uh-huh.
I've definitely gotten better with that, I think.
That's good, yeah. No, I ask because I used to struggle with criticism all the time.
Really?
I used to think I was someone who was like, oh, no, like, I know how to take criticism, like... They're just trying to help me get better. And, you know, the people who say hurtful things, like, I just don't even think about it because it's not applicable to me.
Right.
But
never.
But you know, once I got into college and I realized whether it was like, you know, professional criticism, like, oh, your resume has this that it needs to be worked on, mm-hmm. or it's just like something about like, oh, you could be doing this better, or like the, even like the way you're solving this problem isn't completely correct. It doesn't like haunt me, but it's sometimes I take it too personally, and I need to learn to realize that like it's a part of everyday life. Like you're not going to be able to please everyone.
Yeah.
And even if someone's like, you know, well-intentionally like trying to criticize you, like they're just keeping your best interest at heart. Like people care about you. That's why they want to, like, that's why they're telling you this. Yeah. I've definitely had to learn that.
And I've had to learn about like not have like pleasing everyone. Mm-hmm. Like I had always wanted to be really well-liked by everyone. Yeah. I kind of just realized like, especially like I think freshman year of college, mm-hmm. it's just not going to happen.
Yeah. That's so true. Cause I think especially like type twos, it said something about what, like we want to be loved by everyone.
Mm-hmm.
And that's so hard.
It's hard, especially yeah. if it's like not someone that, I don't know, like even people that don't really matter, like you still want to be like liked by people, yeah. but it's a hard pill to swallow that mm-hmm. it's just not going to happen.
Yeah. The sooner you realize that you can't please anyone or everyone,
the better
you'll be.
Absolutely.
Uh-huh. What else about like type two, like, resonated with you, I guess?
The giver thing mostly, mm-hmm. honestly, because like I think that's true. I like to give. I like yeah. to be there for people. I like to listen. Like the whole gist of it, I was like, wow, mm-hmm. that's me.
Mm-hmm. Oh, basic fear of being unwanted, unworthy of being loved.
Yeah.
Do you have that fear?
Being unwanted. For sure.
Mm-hmm.
Like last year, I applied for a flow and mm-hmm. I didn't get in.
Yeah.
But I still like, I actually made a lot of good friends from that flow. Like it ended up working out for yeah. the better. But mm-hmm. I just remember the first rejection. I was like, wow, like mm-hmm. I didn't like how it felt.
Yeah. No, rejection stinks. I've gotten rejected from so many things.
Yeah. It's not fun.
It's not fun, but. Yeah, I try to impart the wisdom on my freshmen this year in fish camp about, like, rejection.
Mm-hmm.
I told them that rejection's going to happen in college, whether it is about an organization, whether it is about a job opportunity.
A person.
Yeah, that could happen, too.
That one hurts the most.
It really does. And I told them, I got rejected from way more things than I've gotten into. Yeah. And I've still, like, I realize that it's not like rejection, it's just like redirection.
Yeah.
Like you're getting directed to a place that's more fit for you.
I like to think that things happen for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
So if I get rejected, I'm like, like this better be worth it. Like yeah. there better be something good that comes out of this because this sucks. Mm-hmm. But, you know, usually it does.
Yeah. I also think like I used to struggle a lot with just feeling unwanted too, just because like, you know, you want, like, everyone to love you, right?
Yeah.
And you want everyone to, like, you know, have good things to say about you. But sometimes I'm like, I'm always there for somebody, but then no one's here for me. Like, I used to think like that.
Yeah.
And that is such, like, a bad state of mind to be in.
It's not great.
It's not healthy at all. So I think, like, that feeling of being unwanted, it's still lingering around me today, but it's definitely something I feel like I've gotten better at because, like, I can't reasonably expect everyone to always, like, I guess be available or whatever.
Yeah.
As depressing as that sounds, like,
no.
You always want to have, like, someone you can count on, and, like, I definitely do.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, like, you know, just because someone doesn't text you back immediately doesn't mean they don't care about you.
Yeah.
Right? You know what I mean? Like, I used to look into that stuff, like, way too serious.
Oh.
So... definitely gotten better at that.
We're the same as Dolly Parton.
We are. I think, did you take Myers-Briggs?
Yeah. ESFJ-T.
ESFJ. I am an ENFJ.
Yeah, so we're pretty...
So we're just different in the second letter.
Mm-hmm.
I used to be ESFJ, though.
Really?
I think Taylor Swift is actually ESFJ.
She is.
She is, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I remember that.
You are the cheerleader. You are the quarterback, setting the tone, taking the spotlight, and leading the team forward.
That one was weird because I feel like in in social situations, I can sometimes be the first one to talk, which I guess is what that means. Like, you just kind of lead. Yeah. And then a lot of times in, like, academic, like, group projects or something, like, I usually have to take the lead on that.
Yeah.
Especially in these ridiculous breakout rooms.
Like, oh, my goodness. Nobody ever one talks will, first.
So I'll be like, okay, like, I'm just going to start us off right now.
Uh-huh.
I try to, because I don't really think of myself as, like, the leader, but in definitely, like, times like that, like, I definitely think I do, like, I will take the initiative and just, like, go for it.
Yeah, that's good. See, you also enjoy supporting your friends and loved ones.
I do.
What about organizing social gatherings?
Sometimes. Like, one-on-one, more so. Like, because I have my... one of my best friends in Baylor, I try and plan, like, oh, when are we going to see each other next?
Yeah.
Like, who's going to drive where?
Yeah.
When are we going to see each other? Or activities. I don't know. Like, I try and reach out to people. Like, people that, like, that are freshmen this year that I went to high school with, I, like, reached out to them. I'm like, oh, do you want to get lunch? Or do you want to do something
That's the
like
most
that?
Sydney
So thing. I don't know if I'd consider, like, a gathering, but
I still
with people.
Still, it's like you're bringing people together, which... like, that's a really strong trait. Reaching out to people, too, it's very, like, difficult.
Very. Especially when I don't have, like, their numbers. So I, like, reached out to them, like, Instagram DMs.
But you still, like, that's still, like, people don't normally reach out in general. Like,
yeah. I like reaching out.
I love reaching out, too. It stinks, though, because, like, you're often met with more rejection. Or, like, not, you're not often met with rejection, but, like,
it
always happens, right? So
you
like,
can be so excited reaching out. Like, I can't wait for the response just for like,
oh, sorry.
Nothing.
Yeah.
Or like I have a friend, she's a model now. She's very famous now. And she'll reach out to me every now and then and I'll respond. And then every now and then I'll reach out and then I'll take her a little while. But like, I get it. I think she's in like London right now.
Oh my gosh.
She modeled. I don't know if you saw like those Instagram ads for Burberry. She was in those. She, like, she pops off. She has a video on, like, TikTok that got, like, I think 4 million likes.
What the heck?
She's a fan account.
How does that happen? Oh,
she's
my God.
She's got fan accounts.
I know.
She and her twin are both models.
That's how you know you made it.
Yeah, absolutely. They're, like, gorgeous.
They got the blue check mark?
Oh, I wish.
Okay.
No, they don't. I'll just show you, though, the TikTok, because I'm sure you've probably seen it. Like, I showed it to Brooke's friends when they came down, and they're like, oh, like, this was on my For You page.
I feel like we'll see. I'm on TikTok an unhealthy amount of time.
Me, too. Let me find one TikTok where I think Billie Eilish liked her post.
What the heck?
And she's like, nobody talk to me ever again. Like, shut up, everyone. Don't speak.
That's awesome. What, like, TikTok videos pop up on your feed the most?
Oh, like, weird ones. Just over the weekend, I had, like, a flux of, like, toucan videos.
Oh!
Like, pop up. It was, like, weird.
Uh-huh.
I asked my Brooke, because Brooke and I will send each other TikToks, and then after we send it, they'll pop up on our For You page.
Oh, yeah.
So, I'd ask her, I'm like, did you get toucans? And she's like, no. I'm like, okay, never mind.
This is me. This is
Forget
on me.
Forget I said that. I like them, though. I like TikTok.
Oh, me
too. I like all the animal ones.
That's
majority
ones are
like
cute.
Dog ones, cat ones. Yeah.
I was on food TikTok for a good amount because like I cook. Well, like I try to cook.
At
least. I try to cook.
Way to go.
I've gotten a lot better since I came into college. I used to just cook by getting those like ramen bowls and like putting it in the microwave.
That's cooking.
I guess you could call it cooking. I'm on food TikTok, dance TikTok too. It doesn't even have to be like TikTok trend dances, just like choreographers. Like,
I do like that.
I don't know how
to
dance.
I get Charli D'Amelio on mine.
Yeah.
I like her.
I'm a big Charli fan.
I'm a huge Charli fan.
And Dixie too, kind of like, Dixie's really funny. I didn't realize Dixie was an older one too.
I know, it's like, it's weird how I keep up with it. I'll tell Brooke, I'm like, did you see? Or like, I'll tell my boyfriend, like, did you see? And they're like, nobody cares. And I'm like, I care. Like, who they're dating. It's like not.
I funny. Know, it's like celebrity gossip.
It really is, but I feel bad because she's like so young.
Charli especially, she's like,
she's
what, 16?
16 years old.
What the heck that.
It does irritate me though. I see some people that are famous on TikTok. I saw one girl's her birthday and I could have sworn she had to be at least 25.
Oh my
and it was her sweet 16.
Oh my gosh.
I was like, that's not nice. Like, that's if crazy. I showed you pictures when I was 16, I would just I'm so glad I'm not 16 now. Right? I feel like my self-esteem would just be on the floor if I saw that.
That's what I was thinking the other day was, why are people who are young right now, they look so much older than they actually are. But like when we were younger, we looked our age.
Yeah, I looked like I was 12 until like my senior year of high school. I don't know.
I think it's because, at least on the guy's side, it's the way, so dressing. I think for guys at least, a lot of them have got onto like that perm flow. The perm has definitely like taken over. The way they dress, their like accessories.
Yeah, they pierce their ears now.
Yeah, the piercing of the, yep.
That's paint their nails.
Some of them even have tattoos.
That's the other thing. My mom would never allow me to get a tattoo at 16, but they just do.
I don't understand.
Yeah. Or like dye their hair.
Yeah, oh my gosh, they dye their hair.
My mom would throw a fit.
I don't know how. I'm glad I'm not growing up in this.
And not like my mom is a bad mom. Like, she's fine, but like, why would you let, like, 15? I wouldn't trust my kid to get a tattoo at 15, especially a big one.
Mm-hmm. I think something else that, like, shocks me too is that these people are born like mid to late 2000s.
That one doesn't shock me as much because my sister was born 2010.
Oh, okay. Never mind.
So she's about to be 10 years old.
Yeah.
But like.
You were what, 2001?
2001.
Okay. I was 99, but.
So you're a 90s baby.
I'm a 90s baby by like 8 months, maybe.
I just saw a TikTok about that. It's like, why is every kid that was born in 99 bring up in every conversation that they were born in the 1900s?
It's so funny, but it's just weird thinking about, like, I'm seeing people on my TikTok page who were born in, like, 2008.
Like, where are my 04 babies at?
Yeah, what
like,
the heck?
Ew, that's gross. Well, I was a TA my senior year of high school for a freshman class. And they would have to turn in their, like, IDs to me to, like, do something. I'd be like, they were born, like, in 2004, 2005. And I was like, oh, that's weird. And they looked older than me.
Right? And now that I'm graduating spring 22.
Yeah.
I came into college. And when I was in college, I think the class of 2018 was just graduating.
That's crazy.
And now I'm going to see the freshman class is, like, 25.
Yeah.
That's weird.
Isn't it?
25 is so close to 30. And I'm class of like, I'm class of 21, but still, I don't know. It's weird. So, age is
I'm class of 23.
You're class of 23. You're catching up to me.
I'm getting there.
You are getting there. I guess we're going to close out now with a couple of questions. Really, really easy questions.
Okay.
I want you to give me your, like, go-to karaoke song. A song you'd have to know, like, word for word. And you're performing in front of people. So, like, ideally, you also have actions associated with...
Right. Not that I could hit the notes or anything, but, like, Greedy by Ariana Grande.
Oh.
I could belt that.
Yeah.
Let me go on my playlist, because I have a couple of songs that, like... I just know. It's like on my workout playlist. Mm-hmm. Like, I just, especially now, like, I've been listening to a lot of Ariana Grande.
Her voice gets up there.
This new album is...
I haven't listened to it yet, but I've heard good stuff.
Oh, you have to.
What is your favorite song in it so far?
It's called Just Like Magic.
Okay.
And POV.
Okay.
Those are the Noted. Best. Those are the best ones. Mm-hmm. I like... I could belt out Break Your Heart by Tayo Cruz.
Oh, my God. Do you know, like, the rapping part, too?
I mean, I wouldn't sing it, but, like, I know it.
Yeah.
And OMG by Usher.
Yeah, that's a good one.
And then Britney Spears.
Do you have a song in particular?
If You Seek Amy.
Oh, that's a good one.
And Gimme More.
Mm-hmm.
My dad's texting me. I sent him, you know those apps where, like, you can turn yourself into, like, a woman or a man? So I sent him as a woman, and he just said, please, that's awful and creepy. Like, stop it. He just gets angry.
That's so funny. And you, like, you didn't even ask for it. You just sent it to him.
Yeah, I sent it to him, like, midnight.
That's fun.
Those are you with a go-to karaoke. What's yours? I feel like yours would be Mr. Brightside or something.
Mr. Brightside's good. I like What You Say by Jason Derulo. That's really good. Replay by Ayaz.
Replay by Ayaz or Zendaya? That's a good one, too.
That is a good one, too. I don't know. Maybe...
both.
Maybe both. Maybe both. Anything Taylor Swift, really. Oh, I love Taylor Swift. And then this isn't a karaoke song, but when you mentioned Ariana Grande, I love Bloodline.
I like
Bloodline. Bloodline is such an
amazing... I'm a big fan of Ariana Grande. I have a friend from high school. Uh-huh. We both love Ariana Grande. So when the new album came out, I'm like, what do you think?
Freaking out with it.
We were like, oh my God. Uh-huh. He was like, what's your favorite song? I'm like, mine's my favorite song. He's awesome.
That was great. Next question. What are you currently watching on TV? Or Netflix or whatever?
The Mandalorian. Mm-hmm. The new season came out. Okay. The new episode for the season. And Schitt's Creek.
What is that?
Schitt's Creek?
Yeah. Sorry. I'm so sorry.
It's so good. It's on Netflix. It's like this family that used to be like super rich. And then they had like all their assets repossessed. Yeah. And they bought this like little town called Schitt's Creek as a joke. Mm-hmm. And then they ended up having to live there because they have like nowhere else to go.
What genre is that?
It's kind of like a comedy.
Okay.
It's really funny. I watched Cobra Kai recently too. Have you ever watched that?
Sorry, I've not.
My dad was like getting on me about that because my dad was like the biggest Karate Kid fan. Uh-huh. And that's what it's based on. Right. Did you ever watch the Karate Kid?
I did. I've seen trailers of.
Yeah. It's and it looks kind of like, I don't know, it looks different, but like when you actually watch it, I was like, mm-hmm. like so invested. And like the last season just ended and like they're like coming January 8th. And I'm like, no. Yeah. And I called my dad. We talked for like 30 minutes about it, like our rundown of it all. Mm-hmm.
That's great.
I watch a lot of TV.
I watch horror stuff.
Oh, see, I don't watch a lot of horror. So you're going to have to send me some suggestions.
I definitely will. I'm like that weird person who will like comfortably watch horror by myself too.
Did you watch Ratched on Netflix?
No, I haven't.
I feel like you'd watch that. It's like the same director from American Horror Story.
Okay, I've heard a lot of good stuff about American Horror Story that I need to watch too.
And it's based on, I don't know if you've ever read or watched the movie for One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
No.
It's like a critically, like, it won awards. Mm-hmm. It's really good. And it's like all these people in like a mental institution. They had like this evil nurse, like she's the villain. So they made this whole show about her.
Oh, that sounds
so cool.
And like
her backstory and like torture basically. And like some of it I think is even true, like gay conversion, like how they would do stuff like that. Wow. But it was really cool. I watched part of it yesterday, but not all of it.
Freaked you out.
It's cool, but yeah.
Yeah, I'll definitely send you some horror movie recommendations or horror shows.
Yeah, anything.
I love that genre. And then finally, what has been your happy moment for today?
For today, I worked out and called my mom for like an hour. Mm. So that was pretty nice.
There you go.
And I'm looking forward to making pasta tonight.
That's good. I'm so excited for you.
This has been a happy moment for today.
This?
I've been looking forward to this.
Oh, yeah. No, me too.
My mom's like, you're going to be a celebrity. I'm like, okay. Like,
you honestly, I don't know about that. You know... I've gotten, surprisingly, a lot of people have been listening, which has been
really,
yeah.
How many?
I mean, it varies from episode to episode, but, like, I think the lowest episode probably has, like, what does it have? Probably, like, 30 listeners
okay.
is the lowest. And the highest is, like, 50-something.
Wow.
That's really cool. And I think it's, like...
That's really cool.
Yeah, I think, I don't know. This is really unique, too, because... A lot of people that I've been talking to have been, like, mechanical engineering or...
So now you have me.
I have you. But, like, it's cool because, like, I get to showcase, like, different aspects of people in my life.
Because you know a lot of different people. It's really
Don't
easy.
Say it like that.
In the best way.
But, I don't know, like, some of my friends, like, especially my parents, too. Like, my parents have never really had the chance to, like, meet a lot of my friends here. Mm-hmm. And especially now, like, I am deathly afraid to have them come up here and like, meet people, obviously.
Right. Wrong time.
And so, like, this is, like, a great way for, like, not only, like, obviously, like, me to connect with someone, even if, like, I already knew them, to, like, get to know them more. Mm-hmm. But, like, for my parents to see that, like, Victor is hanging out with good people.
Do your parents listen to this?
They haven't listened to it yet. I haven't sent it to them. I wanted to wait till I had a good amount of people on here.
Aww.
But I'm going to send it to them and show them, like...
They're going to have hours to catch
up. Yeah, them. So I'm really happy
cute.
For that. But
yeah.
Yeah. That's good.
So sweet.
I guess we will close it out. So, Sydney, thank you so much for joining me again today. This
thank
was
you.
So fun. I learned so much. Honestly, like,
everything you did with the helpline or everything you've said about the helpline. It's like so cool to hear like what someone has to say about that from the inside.
Yeah.
Because I obviously like I had to use it one time and hopefully like, you know, whoever if someone has made it this far and needs to use a helpline, like we already said the number already a bunch of times, but 979-845-2700.
Call the helpline. It doesn't matter if you've never called. Mm-hmm. Really, it does not. It's all the same to us.
Mm-hmm. But
we do hear that a lot. Mm-hmm. I'll be like, I don't know if like this is okay. Like I've never called before.
Yeah. No, I think like what you're doing is awesome, and
thank you.
I hope like you keep doing that because it really is helpful to a lot of people, whether like you hear people say that or not. Like it really is helpful.
Thank you.
So keep it up.
Thank you.
And we will see you at our next episode.
Yes.
Bye.
Bye.